You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be with you and with our listeners out there in mystery land, I guess we can call it.
Cyberland.
Oh, Jim, that is so good.
Bob, they say the Strait of Hormuz blockade stopping oil, natural gas, fertilizer, helium, products that we've probably never heard of, 20% of the world's petroleum. Have we ever faced an energy crisis like this, to the best of your knowledge?
Oh, yeah. There was a huge energy crisis in 73, 74. And then in 1980, the price of crude went to the moon. And and of course, it provokes the same statements, you know, end of the world things and stuff like that. So, but they've happened before. Yeah.
Do you see, will they change the way energy is dealt with in the future or future sources?
Well, I think with the U.S. gets very little crude oil via that means. It's basically China and over there. So this is then empty tankers are now going to the U.S. to fill up with crude, and that is a very good thing. And the point of and the mullahs, you know, you have a crazed priesthood has been running or ruining things there for 47 years, and it's very difficult to overthrow a religious fanatics, and then who underneath can actually form a government. But hopefully there's enough on the administrative side that can keep the government wheels turning as they get rid of the crazed priesthood. So I think in the longer term it's constructive. There has been, as I said, there's been energy crisis before, so.
And Bob, we have a listener question today. It's from Justin in Berkeley. Hi, Bob and Jim. The gold price in dollars seems to have stabilized, but one of Bob's tenets in the real price of gold is its relationship to commodities, specifically fuel. As gold miners have had a big shock with fuel and other costs skyrocketing due to the Iran skirmish or excursion, diesel in the U.S. is at an absurd $7.50 a gallon in California. I think, Bob, that would translate to $10 a gallon in Canada. Has Bob's outlook for juniors soured with the drop in the real price?
That's a wrap on what's going on out there. At the moment, with the crude move up, the number in my head is about 60% of mining costs are energy. And unless you're sitting next to a hydro dam, you're going to be using some kind of energy, natural gas or crude fuel. So anyways, yeah. So at the moment, the question I like about it, Justin, is that the gold divided by commodities, and then we consider that the CRB commodity index is a reasonable proxy for mining costs. So if you're dwelling on the dollar price of gold in New York, that's all you got. You haven't got a clue whether it's helping the miners or not. So anyways, the ratio, the gold divided by commodities, got overdone in early in the year. I mean, everything got overdone, and there's been a correction, and the correction can play for a while yet, but we still like the sector, and and at some point, the craziness about crude oil and energy prices now will ease. But Jim, you know, I can't tell you when. They said it's really overdone, and sometimes these things can stay overdone longer than you can expect. So, anyways, it is there, and the so the juniors. There's been in our list. There's been a couple of very sharp winners. There was a couple that really didn't do anything and dropped out and disappeared. And but there were some really good moves there. So we still like the idea of positioning in the gold. And of course, there's the three sectors: the seniors, and the middlers, and the juniors. And I think anybody interested in gold stocks should have pretty good exposure in the juniors, because this has been a good market, but when you get into really something hot, and if a junior makes a discovery, oh boy, it was like Arequipa, 1996, I guess it was. We had it on a list of five stocks then. And it went from pennies to $30 as Barrick took it over at a market cap of almost around $1 billion. So you start with a penny stock, and what's the market cap there? Who knows? And then you end up with a discovery and a market cap of $1 billion. I mean, these things can happen, and when they're that attractive, there's other investors and speculators around the world that'll play the stock. So there is a chance that with a list of selected juniors, there could be some very good ones in there.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline from Zero Hedge: Bitcoin is breaking and nobody cares. Yet.
Yeah. The headline writer there enjoyed irony, so yeah. That also, it shows Bitcoin was dazzling a while ago, and it's not the dazzler now. There are new, exciting dazzlers out there.
Bob, in your opinion, is AI overvalued?
Overtalked, overvalued, and the Ottawa government is headed up by Prime Minister Carney. And I saw this and I thought, this is fake. But I looked into it, and it, in a couple of sources, Carney is pushing a scheme where you put $345 in, and it's going into an AI managed investment trading scheme, and it's going to make thousands of dollars every month. So there's your way to prosperity. I can't believe that Carney, with his long, well, maybe you got to be a bit weird to be a central banker anyways, but this is preposterous stuff. So Yeah, no, we'll see how this one goes. Quite interested in it. So.
From Bloomberg, Wall Street lobbyists press the Securities Commission to end ban on private asset cross-trading. Can you explain what that is to us, Bob? I don't know.
Again, the big buzzword is private assets. And then there's something about cross-trading. And, who knows? Hey, it's exclaiming wonders about private assets now.
Now, so many of my guests have said that's where the next credit crisis is going to be, where private lenders, not big banks, have made these big loans, and people just can't afford to pay them back, and they're going to default on these private asset loans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, the whole world is speculating, but I got one here. There's old notes. There was a huge financial bubble going into 1618. Repeat, 1618. And an alderman in London had a scheme. This was typically a mercantilist response to the typical pressures of high debt and slowing trade that follows a long economic boom. Alderman Culcain's plan had the Crown trying to control the cloth trade and move its finishing from the Netherlands. And it's worth pointing out then the Netherlands, Antwerp, was the center of finance and manufacture in the world, and he was going to move this all to London. Of course, defiance of market forces brought about its usual reputation. And then I've written here, during the crisis, the Archbishop reported that the King told Alderman Culcain, "In cold blood, before ye council table, yet if he had abused him by wrong information, his four quarters should pay for it." I should add that that meant tearing him apart, like you made big horses and you tie a rope to one leg and another the other, and they just pull a guy apart. So that's being quartered. And then, at which, continues the Archbishop, "Ye poor aldermen stood infinitely amazed." So you've had schemes like this before, and I am just absolutely amazed that Carney, Prime Minister Carney, who has been a central banker and whatnot, is pushing this deal. It is absolutely farcical. So we'll see what happens.
Now, a headline I saw, Bob, was the founder of one of China's largest real estate firms, Grande.
Grande. We've seen that before.
Right. Well, he has pleaded guilty to fraud.
Fraud.
What do you think his fate is going to be in China?
Well, communists are really bad, but they don't hang, draw, and quarter the condemned anymore over there. So, but you never know. The Chinese may have something. A communist government may have some special penalties.
Well, it's traditional in China that these people are taken out back, shot in the back of the head, and then the family is sent a bill for the bullet, 17 cents, if they want to get the body back to bury it.
Oh, my God. That's an interesting tidbit, Jim.
Yeah, so what do you think they did to him to make him plead guilty?
Right.
Yes, right. Now, the world's biggest mozzarella maker has just left California, 300 jobs gone. Is it really mozzarella if they're making it in California?
I guess they were in California. You know, the number suggests that California, the state of California, is the fourth or fifth largest economy in the world. And with the current governor of California, Newsom, he's just a dreadful liberal idiot. And California made major oil discoveries 125 years ago on the coast. So so oil production has been there, but the governor is making it impossible. So Chevron, or whoever it was, pulled out. So then they have to get their gasoline by tanker from Asia or somewhere, all the way across. And then the poor governor, the reason why he was shutting down or making it impossible to run a refinery is because he's concerned about carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So then instead you got these tankers traveling for 4,000 or 5,000 miles. I mean, the man really is confused. So, that was and tankers, and so, and oil production, they have left. And then there was some other industry, then now it's the mozzarella cheese. So, I like the headline, Jim.
Oh. Well, if Newsom left, would he be the next big cheese to leave California?
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah.
Now, in Vancouver, we had some pretty insane real estate prices, some of the priciest on the planet, but nothing like the Little Duchy of Monaco. And here are a couple of the headlines from Bloomberg. Ukraine's richest man buys Monaco apartment for record $550 million U.S. That would be roughly $750 million Canadian. And another headline from Bloomberg, which is even, it's also as incredible. A three-bedroom home in Monaco goes for £60 million. So double that for Canadian dollars. So $120 million for three bedrooms.
Yeah.
For just three bedrooms.
Well, part of that headline was the dirty money.
Oh, yes.
So
it's all money laundering.
Yeah, and then Ukraine's richest man. Ukraine doesn't have an economy. They can't really have no industry. They make things to sell. So, and also Ukraine, over the last 50 years, has a history of corruption. So then, how did Ukraine's richest man become rich? It has to be crooked somewhere.
Right. Well, Vancouver, great examples of, I know personally, an apartment assessed at $400,000 being offered $630,000 in cash to buy it sight unseen. Do you think that's money laundering?
Oh, yeah. I've seen that part of the problem, part of the transactions on Vancouver real estate is money laundering, too.
Would maybe one of the solutions to money laundering and so on, because it's all drug dealers trying to get rid of dirty money, is they made marijuana legal in Canada, although they've priced it too high. So there's still a black market for marijuana in Canada. It's like moonshine in Kentucky, I guess.
Yeah.
Legalizing some of these other drugs, because President Trump now says psychedelics can be used to treat post-traumatic stress syndrome as suffered by the millions of people, especially Army veterans.
Yeah, well, it's psychedelic this and psychedelic that. I I used to, background in science, and when marijuana first appeared, and I thought, okay, I was hearing stories about people getting a lift out of smoking some pot, and I thought, no, they're just imagining it. So there I was in my gorgeous place I had on Point Grey Road, nice lady, and I'd never smoked, so I was doing pot, and there was a lot of coughing and snorting, but eventually all of a sudden said, my attention, a bookshelf across the living room with some pretty good colored book covers on it. Oh, look at the color of that. And then I realized that there was really something going on with smoking some pot. And then later on, up at Whistler, spring skiing and lovely sunny day and good snow and good bumps and glass of wine and a toke or two. And then the snow became beautiful, the bumps became beautiful, and your skiing became beautiful. I had some very nice times a long time ago.
Yeah. So anyway, the headline is psychedelic stocks just went mainstream. And marijuana in the U.S. the president is now pushing to have it changed from a very serious drug rated along the same as heroin to something that's more like over-the-counter drugs.
Yeah, whatever. I think it's individual choice. And I think a friend of mine gave me an already rolled up joint, and it's in a plastic bag, and I haven't seen it for years. I never got around to smoking it. But, I have nothing against marijuana. And if people want to do it, fine. And actually, I wouldn't mind a little buzz myself.
Well, what's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, good time today, and look forward to getting together again next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He was speaking to us from Vancouver. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on X at @howstreet. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. You can also find us on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.